In this episode, the U.S. Bankruptcy Appellate Panel of the Ninth Circuit hears argument in a bankruptcy appeal. Linda Catron, appearing pro se, challenges a bankruptcy court order that she contends ignored her homestead exemption, denied her due process, and rewarded creditors who allegedly breached loan contracts and engaged in what she characterizes as extrinsic fraud. The core legal issue is whether the bankruptcy judge abused his discretion in refusing to abstain from issues involving state law claims, in denying MS, Catron a hearing or the opportunity to object, and in failing to recognize her homestead exemption. Catron also raises constitutional claims under the Fifth and Fourteenth Amendments and argues that the creditor's conduct prevented her from prosecuting her state court cases. She appears by video before a three-judge panel, Judges Lafferty, Brand, and Spraker. The argument is unusual in that no appellee, neither the creditor nor the bankruptcy trustee, has filed a brief or appeared, making this an unopposed appeal. Pro se appeals in bankruptcy cases are common in the Ninth Circuit, which spans nine Western states and handles a high volume of consumer bankruptcy disputes.
One more matter, I believe. Okay.
Ms. Catron, will you please unmute and address the panel?
I'm Linda Catron.
Okay, are you able to join us by video as well?
No.
All right. Well, you have 15 minutes to make your argument, so go ahead.
Okay, thank you. Number one, there are new legal issues that I filed on Tuesday, and I asked for a continuance. And I want to file a supplemental brief to bring these issues up. Number three, I had a homestead exemption.
A homestead exemption protects a debtor's equity in their primary residence from creditors in bankruptcy. Federal bankruptcy law allows states to set their own exemption amounts, and many Western states, including those in the Ninth Circuit, offer generous homesteads. When a debtor files for bankruptcy, they list exempt property on a schedule. If no party objects within a set deadline, the exemption is deemed allowed. Here, MS. Catron asserts that the bankruptcy judge ignored her claimed homestead exemption.
And the judge ignored that. Number four, the judge did not allow me to
Okay, have we lost Ms. Catron again?
No, I'm not here.
Okay, well you drifted off there for a second if you want to go back to your last point.
I had a homestead exemption and the judge ignored that. The judge did not allow me oral argument and violated my due process rights and my ability to raise objections.
Due process requires that a party receive notice and a meaningful opportunity to be heard before a court enters an order affecting their rights. In bankruptcy, this typically means the right to file objections, attend hearings, and present evidence. When a debtor is pro se, courts often have an obligation to ensure the record is clear. MS. Catron contends she was denied a hearing and could not raise objections, which would be a due process violation if proven.
To discuss the matter. There is no transcript because he did not allow a hearing. This is unopposed. Please remand my case for my win. I have a mental disability. I need an attorney. When I don't know the answer, the bankruptcy court is obstructing my state rights. The federal court is supposed to abstain from state matters.
Federal bankruptcy courts sometimes abstain from deciding matters that are primarily state law questions, particularly when parallel state court litigation is pending. There are two types: permissive abstention, where the court may decline to hear a proceeding, and mandatory abstention, where it must, if certain statutory conditions are met. Abstention is intended to avoid federal interference with state court judgments and to promote judicial efficiency. Ms. Catron argues the bankruptcy court should have abstained from her state law disputes.
In the bankruptcy court, the creditor is violating my contract and discriminating against my state rights. And the bankruptcy court is rewarding the creditor for discriminating against me. This is extrinsic fraud described in my appeal brief.
Extrinsic fraud refers to misconduct that prevents a party from fully presenting their case, such as hiding evidence, intimidating witnesses, or preventing someone from appearing at trial. It is distinguished from intrinsic fraud, which involves false testimony or documents within the proceeding itself. Extrinsic fraud can be grounds to set aside a judgment, even years later, because it denies a party their day in court. Ms. Catron repeatedly invokes extrinsic fraud to describe the creditor's alleged interference with her case.
I want to continue. The U.S. government, they killed my helper. They exposed gas to a different helper. The creditors brought my debt, on my properties, breached the contracts, violated the automatic stay.
When a debtor files for bankruptcy, an automatic stay immediately halts most collection actions, foreclosures, lawsuits, and other creditor activity. Violating the stay can result in sanctions, damages, or even contempt. The stay is one of bankruptcy's most powerful protections, giving the debtor breathing room to reorganize or liquidate in an orderly process. Ms. Catron alleges that creditors violated the automatic stay, though the details are not clear from the argument.
And they interfered with my business partnership. They tampered with my attorneys nonstop. They hacked spoliated records, emails, and documents. They vandalized property without fixing it at my request in the last 4 years. This caused extreme stress, and I'm mentally incapacitated. This is elder abuse. All of this is extrinsic fraud. I want to continue. The system in place that we use as citizens requires that the state superior court system to resolve these matters. But the bankruptcy court judge abstained, as he should have, granted countless motions and orders, as he could have, causing harm to me and my case. The bankruptcy court rewarded the creditor for their discrimination and state court violations. These state court cases, the Superior Court, were pending and listed in my bankruptcy schedule. The issues are on my schedule and case, and the extrinsic fraud kept me from prosecuting my cases, tampering with my lawyer, my property and income, and my mental health affects the result. When a federal case was filed against its creditor, helpers and I were exposed to toxic substance gas. The defendant in the case, who has exposed gas like that before, is the defendant Affinity Partners CEO, Gerald Kushner. Due to the complexity of the several issues, I believe a separate legal complaint should be set aside these motions and appeals to seek a judgment which will explain the extrinsic fraud and oppressive legal activity of the appellees, fraud and breach of fiduciary duty and care to and case. This boils down to extrinsic fraud. How can I prosecute my case with these activities going on around me preventing me from prosecuting my case due to oppression, which is illegal. This is a violation of my constitutional rights, Fourth, Fifth, and 14th Amendment violations. Violation of equal protection, violation of due process.
The Fifth Amendment's due process clause applies to the federal government, while the 14th Amendment extends due process and equal protection guarantees to state action. In bankruptcy, which is a federal proceeding, due process claims typically arise under the Fifth Amendment. Equal protection arguments are less common but can be raised if a debtor alleges discriminatory treatment. MS. Catron invokes both amendments, along with claims of housing and state rights discrimination.
Violation of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, violation of state and housing discrimination. This is unprecedented abuse of power that's main purpose is to injure my related partnerships in business, which are valuable. And the White House administration is self-dealing and covering it up. I will suffer irreparable harm and loss of property if this appeal is not remanded in my favor. The creditor, New Res LLC, Bank New York Mellon, caused the delay and caused the prejudice by breaching my loan contracts, resulting in the appearance of default, forcing me into bankruptcy. Then they filed malicious prosecution against me, knowing that they caused extrinsic fraud. At the end, the judge abused his discrimination, his power. His discretion, his power. I am the appellee, Linda Catron. I am seeking equitable relief. Appellate. The U.S. Supreme Court ruling, United States ruling versus Trockman, 1878, Ninth Circuit Precedent, Intermagnet, Inc., 1991. In the Ninth Circuit, Leon's index system court allows for terminating sanctions and dismissal and monetary sanctions. Grover versus Bick Corp, 1993, may levy spoliation sanctions when a party knew the destroyed evidence would be relevant. That's the end.
Okay, thank you very much. I would ask if Judge Brand has any questions.
I do not have any questions.
Okay, Judge Straker.
I have no questions either.
This is Judge Lafferty. I don't either. I think we heard all your arguments. We'll consider them all. We'll take the matter under submission, and we'll get you a written decision as fast as we can.
Can I get a continuance?
Ma'am, we'll take that under advisement, okay? Thank you very much. Okay, thank you. That concludes. We'll consider your request for a continuance, and we'll give you an answer to that when we dispose of the matter, okay? Thank you very much. That concludes the argument.
Thank you.
The panel took the matter under submission and will issue a written decision. Because this appeal was unopposed, the court had only MS, Catron's filings and argument to consider. No outcome is implied by the oral argument heard here. Decisions from the bankruptcy appellate panel are typically issued within several months, though the timeline can vary. The court also took under advisement MS, Catron's request for a continuance to file supplemental briefing on new legal issues.